This week's mailbag comes to us from Debbie. Dear Lisa, I live in Accra, Ghana, which is in West Africa, and I started listening to your podcast in 2017 when my son was born. At the time, we had brought him home along with so many new things, crib, clothes, bath setup, potty, diapers, toys, towels, that suddenly filled up our home in a place that was already not in the most tip-top shape, suddenly became a chaos zone. At this same time, a nonprofit I had started and run for more than 10 years was crumbling, and I had a new business that I could not make heads or tails of. Being a brand new mother while dealing with all of these professional challenges really spiraled me into a big ball of disorganization. All of this was extra triggering for me because I grew up in a home where my father was extremely disorganized, and it was always been very important for me to not end up that way. So I went online to try to find some answers, and I found your podcast. Lisa, I devoured the episodes. You became my buddy, and I came to care about Joey, Abby, Greg, and your whole team and the vision for Organized 365. How could I relate so much when we live oceans apart? Lisa, I applied your principles, and I turned my life and home around. I created order and systems. I remember you saying once, you get organized. You stay organized. It is very true. I have to declutter and tidy up often, but the spaces I organized in the past have remained organized. My son's room is always organized, and I've taught him the principles I have learned from you. I want to say thank you so much. Right before COVID, we moved into a new place, and over time, the new spaces I did not organize when we moved have gotten out of hand. Our master bedroom has clothes thrown all over the floor. My home office is a big mess filled with clutter from my old nonprofit. My kitchen is pretty bad and my time management is shot. I feel like I'm being pulled down by my disorganization and I need to get my act back together. Also, my parents have gotten much older. My dad is 84 and does not have good movement, and my mom is taking care of him in addition to two siblings struggling with mental health. I already mentioned how disorganized their home is, right? Well, now they are really getting swallowed by it. I wish I was able to help them, but I need a big refresher on everything that you teach to be able to do that. I just want to say a huge thank you for everything you are doing to save so many families. It really is God's work, and I pray He rewards you multiple fold for your faithfulness to the vision He has placed on your heart. Warm regards, Debbie. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. 500 episodes. 500 episodes! Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You know, there are a couple quotes I want to start this podcast out with. The first one is from Calvin Coolidge, and he says, "Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race." President Calvin Coolidge. When I was thinking about recording this podcast episode, I was trying to find the origin of that quote, and I found it was Calvin Coolidge. And then I downloaded Calvin Coolidge's biography, and I listened about his presidency and his upbringing and how he was raised. It's so interesting. He has a lot of quotes that are attributed to him. The other quote that I want to give you is Will Smith. I also listened to Will Smith's story this summer, And Will Smith says, "The only thing that I see that is distinctly different about me is that I'm not afraid to die on a treadmill. I will not be outworked, period. You might have more talent than me. You might get to be smarter than me. You might be sexier than me. You might be all of those things. But if we get on the treadmill together, here's two things. You're going to get off first, or I'm going to die." I found his biography also to be very interesting about how he grew up and his father and his parents and his music career and then how he got into acting and on and on and on. I find it so interesting, success. I just find success so interesting. And it reminded me of this book that I read a long time ago. So the book called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson was published in 2005. And I'm going to read a lot of excerpts out of this book and just let you know what those mean to me. So I am a very persistent person. And I would say that I don't think I'm any more talented than anyone else. I just think that I don't give up. And I think that we often, especially in America, tend to see fame and we tend to see success and we tend to see people who have been successful as if they are lucky or things just happen to them or they have a special IQ or there's something special about them. And The Slight Edge, which is a book I read long before I started to organize 365, really impacted me with the image that they have. And I'll put this image in the show notes on page 12. And it says, "Slight Edge Life Paths." And basically it has that there's this road. Like if you're on a road, everybody is on the same road. And then there are actions that you can take that will have you moving to the left or have you moving to the right, like if you're on a straight road. But they put this road on a horizontal axis. So then there are actions you can take that will take you down or take you up if you're looking at a graph. And I remember reading this book. I was doing Creative Memories at the time. And so I would have been probably in my late 20s, early 30s when I read this book in my life. And I remember looking at this graph and it says that at the top, if you want to do things that are uncomfortable now, they will become comfortable later, or you can do what's comfortable now and it will become uncomfortable later. And I was thinking about how I was spending my time and how I enjoyed spending my time and where I imagined my future would be. And I love to equate this to health because I'm not the picture of health. So if you look at people who, you know, walk 10,000 steps a day and they eat the correct amount of calories and they eat the right macros and they have a salad a day and they have all their vitamins, they are healthier people long term because your health is built day after day after day after day. But also, everything is built that way. Like that's a really great, clear example where you could say, oh yeah, if I ate a little bit better, I would probably feel a little bit better and take less medicines. Or if I didn't eat or take care of my body the way I do, I probably would not have the health that I have. It's a pretty obvious, logical one. And I have always thought about, for me, I prioritize investing my time in learning. I was thinking about this as I went to get a book off of my bookshelf, and there was a period during my organizing journey in the last 10 years where I got rid of almost every single book I had because, you know, I thought that's what you're supposed to do, like live minimalist, have less stuff. And now I can't have enough books. Like I have these two huge bookshelves that we had designed this year that hold all these books. I'm already out of space for my books. So I took some of my books over to the office and then some people borrowed them. And then I was like, darn, I don't have my book. And I highlight my books and I was like, Lisa, why are you trying to have less books? Like you love books. You love learning. You love conferences and webinars and all these things. And I was like, that's right. I should be getting more bookshelves. I love those older houses. Or when you think like of Calvin Coolidge, how many books that he had inside of his library. Or when I go to Stan Hewitt, which is it's a mansion that you can tour in Ohio. It was one of the Tyre, I think it wasn't Firestone. Anyway, Goodyear? I don't know. I think it was Goodyear. One of the rubber tire owners built this building called Stan Hewitt. It has this huge library in it. And when you look in olden times, like Benjamin Franklin had huge libraries, created libraries. Carnegie created libraries. Like libraries is where you get more information. I have an insatiable desire to learn and add more information into my brain. And I realized my entire life is creating my own PhDs. Like I am just learning about the things that I want to learn about. And as I was looking at this image in the slight edge about what is uncomfortable now becomes more comfortable later, and what is comfortable early becomes uncomfortable later, they're talking about growth habits versus negative, reactive, bad habits. And what you focus on expands and duplicates, but it takes a long, long, long time. So 8 years ago, 8 years ago in September of 2014 was when I recorded my first Organized 365 podcast episode. This is the 500th Organized 365 podcast episode, and that does not include the bonuses and the Wednesday podcast episodes and the book reviews and the coffee chats. And if you add that to the other podcasts that I have, which was the Successful Direct Sales podcast that doesn't exist anymore, the Professional Organizer Think Tank podcast, which does still exist, and all of the playlists that we now have that you could find when you search Lisa Woodruff in any podcast player, we have well over 700 podcast episodes. And what I have focused on and what has expanded is being able to articulate how we look at our home, making the invisible work visible, understanding how different generations, different genders look at our homes, productivity, our time, our goal setting, the different kind of work that we do. And it's almost like I have a never-ending classroom. Like the Productive Home Solution, the Sunday Basket, the Friday Workbox, these are all courses that we've created that will help you live a more organized and productive life. And those systems and processes over time have been refined and re-recorded and redone, and they continue to get better and better every single year. But what's interesting about the podcast is each podcast episode is a whole new topic. I am always continuing to evolve and grow based on this idea of how do we look at our time, our work, our role in society. How can we get more time to do what we're uniquely created to do? And how can an organization unlock that time for us going forward? The podcast, being in business for more than 10 years, having saved so much time with the Sunday Basket myself, and having over 3 million hours being unlocked with people who have started the actual Sunday Basket system, doing research, like all of these things have built on each other. And it is the compounded consistency of having stayed in business more than 10 years that is continuing to unlock bigger and bigger breakthroughs and ahas for myself personally and for the Organized 365 audience collectively. So if you just look at the Sunday Basket, 20 years ago, the Sunday Basket unlocked my week for me and moved me personally from a reactive to a proactive person. That's all it did for the first 10 years. And then it helped me grow Organized 365, and we created the physical Sunday Basket in the next 10 years. I have no idea what the Sunday Basket will do to grow Organized 365, unlock more time. I have no idea where the Sunday Basket is going to go in the next 10 years. Like, you don't always know what the impact of the consistency of a habit will do over time. It's only in hindsight, when you look back, you could see the difference. And this is why The Slight Edge, the book, The Slight Edge, I knew when I read it way back when how impactful this would be for my future, but I did not know what that would look like. So I'm going to go ahead and just go through this book and read some of the quotes that I've heard in here and just let you know how that has shaped the person that I am today, and how you can make changes today and start doing different habits and consistencies today that will impact your next 1, 5, 10, 15, 50 years into the future. So the first one I'm going to read is from page 28. And it says, your philosophy creates your attitude, your actions, your results, and that creates your life. So I realized as I was reading this, and this would have been, again, when I was in my creative memories years, probably in my early 30s, that I had a choice. Like my life was not as much on autopilot as I believed it was, and that I was really in control of a lot more of my future than I thought I was. And that started with my attitude, my actions, and my results. So your attitude, being a positive person, is purposeful. It is very rare that you would just be a positive person. I mean, you may be for a period of time, but then life will beat you down. Like it will. It will just come out of nowhere and it will beat you down. And then you have a choice to make. It is totally acceptable to live a reactive life and negative and woe is me and everything's happening to me because it is. Totally is. And everybody will agree with you and people will give you sympathy and pity. And social media will come and agree with you, and the media will write a story about it, and you can live in that place. But I would say the first thing that really changed me then, and again changed me in 2012, was this doubling down and this purposeful change from life is happening to me to life is happening for me. And if it's got to be, it's up to me. And so I, as much as I am able, am always going to look and find the bright side of things. I'm going to find the positive. And I am going to strive to be positive to those around me. So your attitude. And I'm telling you, when your attitude changes and you become positive and you look for the positive in absolutely everything, then your actions become more purposeful and they become more powerful, and then you have greater results. So the next thing on page 30 says that success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. I love this because success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Being successful, achieving your goals, setting a goal and achieving it, doing something you set out to do, it's the process, it's the journey of it, which is so enjoyable. It's not always the end destination. So I love that. I love the progressive realization of a worthy goal. And then successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. I would say that definitely this one I really started pushing into in 2012, 13, 14, when I started to organize 365, this is that idea of, you know, last week I talked to you about the 80-20 rule of housework. And I said, eventually I got to the point at the end of the day at 6:30 where I looked at the to-do list. And instead of doing one more thing on my household to-do list, I decided to do something else. This is the something else. You have multiple to-do and to-be lists. You have the ones that other people create for you, society creates for you, your brain creates for you, like how clean and organized your house should be, that seem fairly acceptable and everybody's kind of working off of those to-do lists. And then there are these other to-do lists that you start to create for yourself when your brain has capacity to think and dream and imagine. And this is what is possible and what could be. And so I started to realize that what was possible and what could be was that I could have an online business. And even though I started an in-home professional organization business in 2012, my ultimate goal was always to be able to have something online that I could scale and do from home. And so I remember in about 2013, my second year in business, I just had this unending list of amazing opportunities and things that I could do to both make my in-home professional organization business better, organizing my house better, and then also growing my online blog and make that better. And I found that I started to switch my to-do list from doing more things related to making our house perfect to doing more things to investing in the future of Organize 365. And the first 5 years of Organize 365, I worked at least 80-hour weeks. I would work until midnight. Like, I was unquenchable in the amount of work that I did. I would get up, I would go, I would organize other people's houses, I would come home, I would organize our house, I would put it on a blog, then I would learn coding, then I would earn whatever, like whatever it took in order to grow Organize 365. And I was driven like by a motor, like I couldn't get it done fast enough. And then this thing done would open up these other things that needed to be done. And then I would do those and I would do those and I would do those. And once you unlock what it is you're uniquely created to do, you're going to find the same thing. And all of a sudden, you're going to want to find as much time as possible to get that PhD, to start that foundation, to foster that child, to start that charity, to whatever. Whatever it is that you want to do with your time, all of a sudden, you will not be able to find enough time. You will have so many ideas and opportunities to fill that time. And that's when you'll say, okay, fine, then I don't have to have a perfect home. I can have an 80% home that everybody thinks is perfect, but I know isn't, because I want to take that time and pour it into this other thing that I'm uniquely designed and created to do. Which leads me to page 39, and you've probably seen this somewhere else. This is not unique to this book, but it talks about investing and the cost of waiting to invest. So they say that if you were to invest $2,000, let's say, into your retirement or whatever, from age 24 to 30, you would end up with the same amount of money compounded over time in your retirement than if you started investing $2,000 from the age of 30 all the way to the age of 62. That is mind-blowing, and I've seen the math done over and over and over again. So basically, it's saying that you can invest $12,000 in your 20s, or you can invest something like $60,000 in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and still end up with the same $1 million when you go to retire. So the cost of waiting, that is the slight edge. That's what I love about this book, The Slight Edge. So often, we say to ourselves, okay, when I have all of these things done, then I am going to XYZ. And what this book really brought to light for me is that maybe, like, if you're trying to have a perfect house and perfect organization and perfect all of this, so that you then can have your time to do these other things over here on the next list, the opportunity cost of having waited to start those other things is real. And this idea of consistency beats talent. You've got to get started. Like, so if you wait until you're 50 to start, you could still be successful, but there is a time continuum. Like, lightning doesn't strike very often. And usually people who you see and you're like, oh my goodness, I wish I had a business like that person. I wish I had a body like that person. I wish I had a family like that person. I wish I had a whatever. The time that has been invested to create the outcome that you see is almost always 10 years. Almost always. And to replicate that will take 10 years. It's just, there's no other way around it. So once you get started, you almost have to start your 10-year clock, your 5-year clock, your 10-year clock. Very few things can be done in a matter of days, weeks, months, or just a few years. Most things that are lasting take a decade. A great example of this, I would say, is my relationship with my kids. I was extremely purposeful when our kids were teenagers to find ways to create really solid, mature relationships with each of my kids that were not parental relationships. And I am reaping the rewards of that investment of time and thought and purpose. And it was very intentional that I did it, and I did not notice the effects immediately. But now the effects are obvious, probably to you, definitely to my husband, to our family, to the kids. Like, it's very, very obvious. But it is not something that just happened. And it is not something that I probably could replicate now if I wanted to. There was a perfect time to have done that. And I was able to have capitalized on that. So page 42 says, the truth is, what you do matters. What you do today matters. What you do every day matters. Successful people just do the things that seem to make no difference in the act of doing them and they do them over and over and over until the compound effect kicks in. Often when you start doing something, people are like, why are you doing that? Like, you're not even seeing results. Why are you doing that? I'm like, I know. But you keep doing it, and it is the doing it that brings about the results. So page 53 says, how long will it take? Chances are it will take longer than you want it to. And when the time arrives, you'll be astonished how quickly it seemed to pass. Time is such a interesting concept. It's just such an interesting concept. And I have striven more so lately than in the beginning years to really conceptualize and make time as concrete as possible. So I've redesigned the planners this summer. The Business Workbox Planner and the Productive Home Solution Planner were redesigned this summer. You'll see the new Productive Home Solution Planner in January. It takes a long time to design these things and get them printed. And so I was working with a new designer who's not familiar with Organize 365. And so she created a spread, and she went to create the daily spread, and she started with Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then she had Thursday, Friday, Saturday on the right-hand spread in the planner. And she said, you know, I did this because January 1st is on a Sunday, and then that way I had one less spread that I needed to make in this planner. So she's thinking about it from a design perspective. And I said, oh, no. The week has to start on Monday. And she's like, okay, but then I'm going to have to put an extra like page. What do you want me to do? Put in the week of December? I said, yes. And I said, because time. Monday morning to Thursday night is the same amount of time as Thursday night until Monday morning. So if you divide your planner with Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the right-hand side, those 4 nights and 3 days is the same amount of time as 4 days and 3 nights over on the right-hand side. And she looked at me like I had 3 heads. And I'm thinking, and you as a podcast listener know that we got that from Laura Vanderkam and how you can perfectly divide your week. And I'm trying to get people to realize that Friday is part of your weekend, because even if you're working in work, your brain space is different, and we all know it's different. And these things about time. And so then she goes to the pages where we have the pies of time. And I'm like, okay, so this big pie is how you spend your time Monday through Friday. And then weekend time is not the same kind of time. So we need 2 different pies, a Saturday pie and a Sunday pie. And we're over in the Workbox Planner. I'm explaining, you know, the different kinds of work and how we do all these different things. And as I was explaining all of this to her, I realized how many stories and examples and graphic displays that I have created for myself personally first. And then obviously for the Organize 365 programs, products, services, and podcast, about how to conceptualize and really feel the passing of time, the meaning of time, the cadence of time. As I was working with Virginia, who is our new director of partnerships, and we were looking at our marketing calendar for the year, she was looking at something, and she said, okay, so on August 2nd, and I'm like, okay, here. And I was telling her how you are feeling. And she's like, how do you know this? Like, how do you know that July is a Bermuda Triangle of month? How do you know that August is the transition month? How do you know? I was like, I have been so steeped in the American home organization experience for really my whole life, but the last 10 years of listening and observing and supporting and researching and analyzing. And like, I just can't not see it. It's like, I know how Americans are feeling in their home every week of the year. Like, I just know, I just understand it. And I understand how time passes so fast the week of the holidays and so slow the last week of July, and how you get so overwhelmed in May and August and December. And then you're so bored in February and October. And, you know, I mean, I just know, like, I just understand this different passing of time because I have been in it so long. And I also have this understanding that time is fleeting. And once it's gone, it's gone. And so the quicker I can get you to understand and harness the power and the totality of the time that is available to you that you're on the planet, so that you can have as much of it as possible for your unique gifting, the better the entire world is. Like, I really feel like if I can unlock your own time for you, then the gift that you have to give to the world is so amazing that you and me and everybody else is going to hope that you get it there as soon as possible. And the only way that I can help you do that is to eliminate as much as possible the housework that you're doing, to streamline and complete your organization, which literally unlocks your time. And then once you get into what you're uniquely created to do, like, you won't care if there's science experiments growing in your toilet, because you'll be so in love with the thing that you are uniquely created to do. So this is a great lead in to page 68, which says, no success is immediate, nor is any failure instantaneous. They are both products of the slight edge. The truth of quantum leaps is that they are not larger than life. They're sub-microscopic. The actual term quantum leap comes from particle physics, where it does not refer to a huge seismic jump. It refers to the fact that energy, after a period of time, will suddenly appear at another level without or having been able to observe how it got there. A real-life quantum leap is not superhuman leaping a tall building. A real quantum leap is Edison perfecting the light bulb and transforming the world with it. Oh, so good. It's so good. Like, we are waiting for permission. We are waiting for the golden ticket. We are waiting for someone to come up to us and say, you know what? I've noticed that you are great at this and you should devote all your time and effort to it. And here's some money so you can do that. And while you're doing that, I'm going to take care of all of your tasks for you. But that's not the reality of life. The reality of life is, and I'll just say for me personally, I had to realize that I could spend my entire life being an excellent wife, mother, and homeowner, which I still feel that I am, and I feel uniquely called and created to do. And that would be enough. It would. That absolutely would be enough. But also, I just have such a unique history and such a unusual brain that just loves to make some big assimilations between what happens in a corporate work environment, what happens in a school environment, and what happens in a home environment, and how the things that are the best in each of those can be applied to the other ones, and the weaknesses can be eliminated, and you could create a better home, school, and work environment if we could just kind of pull the best from all areas. And that the unique upbringing that I had of female entrepreneurs and college graduates that were able to be great homeowners, wives and mothers, and also create an income and create businesses, sometimes from nothing, like my mother did, is unusual. And the fact that I, for whatever reason, believe I can do it, is an example for others that then they could go, well, if she can do it, I can do it. And that's what I love about some of the female founders that I watch. You know, I look at Sarah Blakely, or I look at Austin Fowler, or Stephanie Fowler, or I look at Amanda Tress, or I look at Jamie Kern Lima, or I look at like all of these women who, you know, Jamie Kern Lima was told not to show her face on QVC, and she did. Right? I remember the first time I saw Amanda Tress was in Dayton. This is like 9 years ago. She's pregnant with Cole, going on the local TV. I was also going on the local TV. And I was like, have I mentioned before I'm not an athletic person? She's like pregnant. And she's like doing workouts on TV. I'm like, it's like 2013. I'm like, first of all, I said, is that okay? Are we allowed to exercise pregnant? I was never pregnant, so I don't know. Also, I don't exercise. So these are two things that I had no experience in. And I was like, I was just amazed. She just like popped in there, did her little exercising thing. And I was like, that is fascinating. And now to have watched the company that she's grown has been amazing. Like to have been able to have met Stephanie Fowler when I was on the book tour and, you know, to be able to Voxer with her as business owners and just talk about growing product-based businesses through e-commerce, which is unique. I don't see a lot of people doing that, to watch Sarah Blakely and how she's just fascinating to watch. She doesn't share that much on social media. She obviously loves her employees. She's very passionate about Spanx. She obviously loves her husband. The thing I find most interesting about Sarah is her self-deprivation humor, where she's like, oh, I might tag on my dress. I gave a speech with the dress inside out, or things like that, or how she loves her kids and she's there with her kids. But what I also love to see about what Sarah Blakely does is how often she's not with her family. Like, she's off on girls' trips a lot. She's off doing something with Richard Branson. She's off speaking. Like, she's with Jesse, her husband. She's with her kids. She's doing things for Spanx. She's doing things for herself personally. And I personally am not good at that yet. Like, I do things for my family. I do things for my business. But I don't do really anything for myself personally. Like, I don't go on a girls' trip. I don't do anything like that. I'm just starting to travel. And so I see an example of like, okay, she travels and her marriage is still good. So I'm like, this is something I'm working on. Just an example of what is possible. Page 73 says, the reality is that the rags to riches success story person has gotten to where they are by making mundane, quiet, little slight edge decisions and repeating simple disciplines day in and day out. I guess, you know, the whole point of this being the 500th podcast episode is that recording a podcast for me is not hard because I like to talk. I have a lot of stories to share. I love to revisit the same topic over and over and over again with a new spin on it. But one of the things I've noticed as a podcaster is how few podcasts, A, are consistent, and B, last the test of time. There are lots of podcasts out there that have, you know, a dozen podcast episodes. There are some that have made it to 100 podcasts. There are quite a few where they take summers off, or they take breaks, or they do seasons, so they don't have to be as consistent. One thing that I have always been good at, and why sometimes I don't launch a new product or add new things into Organize 365, is because I know that consistency matters. And I have not missed a Friday episode ever. There's never been a, oh, that one was on a Saturday instead of a Friday. No, they've all come out on a Friday. And then when I added in more, like the Wednesday podcast episodes, we haven't missed any of those, except for that little like 6 or 8 week blip where we didn't have enough Wednesday podcast episodes, which is your invitation to apply to be a guest on the Wednesday podcast, please. So consistency is important because you, like, I want my favorite podcast to drop at the same time. So consistency is important. Page 101, the 5 percenters who dwell in the upper curve know that there are no excuses. Man, do I believe that. They understand and accept the fact that nobody can do it to them, and nobody can do it for them. They live by the axiom, if it's going to be, it's up to me. I already said that earlier in this podcast. They set their own standards, and their standards are high, that's for sure. They realize that their only limitations are self-imposed. They understand that it's not about what happens to them that's important, but how they respond to what happens that makes the difference between their failure and success. Oh my goodness. I would say in the last 5 years, I have gotten harder on myself as far as exacting my standards and making them higher and higher and higher. But I do not should on myself anymore. I do not guilt myself. I do not blame myself. But I know that I am. The more you're able to achieve, the more you realize that you're capable of. And again, I'll just keep going back to exercise axioms because I know that they're good examples for some of you, not me, obviously. They say that when you're lifting weights or when you're doing reps or whatever, like, you are capable of so much more than you actually think you are physically. And I love to say that mentally. Like, the podcast episodes I have coming up in October, I finally had a psychologist who said to me, like, your brain is highly advanced. I was like, yes, that is the muscle I have been working on for the last 20 years. And you're telling me I've done a good job. Yes, because I do. I think we give ourselves a pass. I think we're like, okay, well, if you check these boxes, then good for you. Now on to, you know, go get your cookie. And I just think that we as humans are capable of so much more than we hold ourselves accountable to. And we hold ourselves accountable to some really silly stuff that does not matter in the long term. Page 106. You can't change the past. You can change the future. Would you rather be influenced by something you can't change or something you can? So true. Like, I just really don't even live in the past at all. I only live in the future. And that is definitely a mindset. And then the book gets into more about how do you master the slight edge? How do you really start to manifest something that you've never seen in reality and that you've dreamed up in your head? So I'll just read a couple more here. Page 119. Wanting hurts. Here's an interesting thing. If putting voice to your fondest dreams can make you a little uncomfortable, it can also make everyone around you uncomfortable, and often far more so. Tell your five closest friends about your biggest ambition and watch how many of them squirm. Why? Because showing them your want or desire reminds them so much of their lack. And I think this is so true. Like page 120 says, visions and visionaries make people uncomfortable. This is definitely true. The more that you step out of the day-to-day grind of housework and your 9-to-5 job, and you're able to do those and more, you're odd. I'm odd. I mean, I'm very odd. You know I'm odd, but you're still listening to this podcast, so you're probably odd too, I'm going to guess. And the odder you are, meaning that you either reduce or eliminate as much of the housework as possible and you get your 9-to-5 day job in line, and then you have some time to do what you're uniquely created to do, most of the world, 95% of the world, will never master that. They either don't take the time to figure it out, they don't realize that it's possible, it's not possible for them, I don't know. But once you get to that point where you're not a slave to your house and you are making big impact and you also have time to talk about other things and bigger things, the fewer people that you have to talk to, because most people are not there. Some desire to be there and then they'll want to talk to you about it because they want to see how you got there. But a lot of people, I don't know if they even desire to be there. And so then you have to find, that's why you love podcasts. That's why you love books, because that's where we are. That's where the people are that are doing this. We're on podcasts. We're on books. And this is where you really have to start to live every day more and more in your mind and less in what you actually see in your physical three-dimensional reality. I know. Now I'm getting really weird. There's no other way around it. If you're a positive, proactive person that's living out your unique purpose, you're weird. And if you're weird, there aren't that many other weird people around there to talk to. And so then when you want to kind of start saying like, okay, well, I thought about this and I created this reality and now this is the next reality that I want to create in this world, people look at you and they go, what are you talking about? I don't understand how you're doing that. So let me just read a few more things out of the book, page 120. You can measure the impact of a person's life has by the size of the problems that he or she solves. It's the power of a person's dreams, their vision, that each of these men and women hold that create a magnetic force against which there is no opposition to stand. Page 122. All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. And third, it is accepted as being self-evident. That's Arthur Schopenhauer. The key to success is to identify things that are going to become self-evident before they are self-evident. So here's the thing. When you can eliminate your housework and you can create and set goals in your home and in your work, and you have some time to do what you are uniquely created to do, and you are weird like me, then the things that you are uniquely created to do, at first, people are going to say, there's no way that can happen. Like, obviously, if that was a thing, it would already be, and it isn't, so it isn't, so that's ridiculous. And then you'll be like, yeah, well, I really think it's a thing, so I'm going to do it. Then people will violently oppose you. They'll be like, why are you doing that? That's crazy. How's that little hobby thing going for you? And then all of a sudden, you'll be successful, and people will be like, oh, yeah, I always knew that was going to work. Cracks me up. Like, I literally, like, there's some people where I literally can remember them saying these things to me, like, oh, that's adorable. How's your little blog going? And now they say to me, like, don't forget about me when you're famous. And I'm like, come on. And it's not about success or fame, but it is so true. When you have a thought or something that is unique for you to do, it is the process. Remember all the way back I said, the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. That's what success is. It's the journey for yourself to unlock the time and then to believe in yourself and press into whatever you are uniquely created to do and then take the first couple steps that no one is going to think is a good idea and keep going and finding more time and then refining your process and yourself and your belief in yourself so that you can bring to light whatever you are uniquely created to do, which is what the Embrace On Demand event is. That helps make visible the invisible work that you're doing at home and work so that you can reduce it so you can get more time to do what you're uniquely created to do. And I also walk you through how do you figure out what that is. But I can't tell you. Like, only you can figure out what you're uniquely created to do. But what I find most Americans do is they fill up their day with never-ending to-do lists and household-related tasks based on the 80-20 podcast I just recorded that really are going to be undone within minutes that don't matter in the long term. They make the immediate needs more meaningful than the long-term impact that can happen by refining yourself through the slight edge. So I encourage you today. I encourage you to be consistent. Consistent in the things that you know that you are already doing, that maybe people around you are not doing, that are going to make a different future for you a decade from now. And a lot of times, that's how long it takes. Like, 16 million downloads did not happen in the first 7 years of the podcast. Most of them happened in the last two. And that's the truth about consistency. Setting your mind, setting your intentions, creating habits that will create the future reality that you want for yourself in your health, in your wealth, in your impact, in your organization, in your friendships, in your relationships. It's all about intentionally setting habits that will create the future reality that you want. And consistency beats talent. You don't have to be the most talented person in the room. You don't have to have all the money. You don't have to be the person with the pedigree. You just have to be the person who's willing to put in the consistency over time to achieve what you are uniquely created to do. And I want to hear about it. Like, I want to hear about the impact that you're making on the world. I want to hear about it in the Wednesday interviews. I want you to DM me on Instagram or send me a message inside of the app. It is amazing to me. I am always humbled and awe-inspired by the amazing things you are able to do with your time once you unlock yourself from the never-ending to-do lists of your housework and take that time and put it in what you're uniquely created to do. It is what I love to hear. So send us those emails, send me those DMs, and take some time this weekend to eliminate some more of those things that you don't need to do because the world needs what you were uniquely created to do.